I'm Gina Marie Mamano, and this is Ear Candy, a sweet piece of sound for your mind to suck on. This time of year, I feel the thin places more, those unexplainable, weather-worn holes in the fabric of spirit and soul atmosphere that the ancient Celts believed brought otherworld closer, giving more accessibility to those less visible inhabitants for we skin-clad types. I kind of like the idea. Those friends and folks who have lifted and drifted away from Earth's sphere coming home for a visit, hopefully to garnish some wisdom into our daily banquets or famines. A great song that describes this feeling of wondering about the thin places is written and sung by Canadian Bruce Cockburn. It is called Closer to the Light, and in it he says, "There you go, swimming deeper in the mystery. Here I remain, only seeing where you used to be. Death's no stranger, no stranger to the life I've seen. Still I cry, still I beg to get you back again." If you listen closely to the words, he doesn't rob the griever from grieving, but he also doesn't steal the hope from the hoping. Take a listen.
There you go, swimming deeper in the mystery. Here I remain, only seeing where you used to be. Stared at the ceiling till my ears filled up with tears. Never got to know you, and suddenly you're out of here. Gone from mystery into mystery. Gone from daylight into night. Another step deeper. Walked outside, summer moon was nearly down. Mist on the fields, holy stillness all around. Death's no stranger, no stranger than the life I've seen. Still I cry, still I beg to get you back again. From mystery into mystery. Gone from daylight into night. Another step deeper into darkness. Closer to the light. Another step deeper.
A way some attempt connection to loved ones in the thin places is to set up an altar, an ofrenda, clustered with orange and yellow chrysanthemums, and decked out with beloved photos and favorite foods of the friend or family member who has left the building of this world. A form of this practice finds itself in many cultures, but where I grew up, in Southern California, near the sunny side-up border of Mexico, it was all about the Day of the Dead, or Día de los Muertos. In short form, here's how you do it. Create a blossoming tribute to someone you love who has passed away by way of seasonal flowers and bloom-bedecked sugar skulls. Light a few candles. Gather friends and family around the graveside-clad altar with a few comfortable chairs. Drink a toast with a favorite bubbly or brew, and then let the storytelling begin. Sweet stories, hilarious stories, hard stories. The point is the act of remembrance, a celebration of a life that has moved on from our own realms but comes back every year to visit. In this next poem, Barbara Crooker has created her own form of ofrenda, or personal altar, to honor a friend as well as her mother. Here's All Saints by Barbara Crooker. It's one day past the Day of the Dead, and this has been a bad year. 6 funerals already and not done yet. But on this blue day of perfect weather, I can't muster sadness, for the trees are radiant, the air thick as caro warmed in a pan. I have my friend's last book spread on the table and a cup of coffee in a white china mug. All the leaves are ringing like the tiny bells of God. My mother, too, is ready to leave. All she wants now is sugar, Panucci fudge, tapioca pudding, pumpkin roll. She wants to sit in the sun, pull it around her shoulders like an Orlon sweater, and listen to the birds in the far-off trees. I want this sweetness to linger on her tongue, because the days are growing shorter now, and the night comes on so quickly. That was All Saints by Barbara Crooker from her book Gold, published by Cascade Books in 2013 and used by the author's permission. My own father passed away about a decade ago, and though I didn't create a physical altar to remember him by, I did create a word altar I go back to on occasion in order to lift a mental toast to his once being in the world. The poem is called I Thought of Making You. I'll share it with you now. I thought of making you an altar, a Mexican tower spewing chrysanthemums, orange and gold, with tiny pictures in black and white. You with the baseball tucked under your shirt, you marrying mom, you looking into the camera and stating you exist. I thought about it, your giant soul and black head of hair haunting in memoriam those passers-by who should remember. I thought of laying out black cups of coffee and anise cookies for you to serve, your wanting eyes hollow, wishing for a patron. I didn't do it. Those nights in the display room would have been cold. When the door cracked closed, the reverberations would have exacerbated the emptiness. My choice of floating songs by black and white singers would suddenly go silent. Chrysanthemum leaves would slip to the floor, and I, too, would have to sleep.
Left me again. I
Was a tune performed by Alison Krauss and Robert Plant called Sister Rosetta Goes Before Us, creating a song altar of sorts to the late preacher / musician known by most of us as Sister Rosetta, and opening that thin place we've been talking about just a little bit more. Another entryway into the thin places seems to be through descansos, those hand-hewn crosses showing up on the sides of roads, bedecked with silk flowers and tributes to one who has passed away too quickly, too suddenly. Brian Doyle, in his essay, Mute, Riven, Blessed, ruminates on these roadside commemorations and the hard truths held inside of them, as well as the hopeful possibilities fringing their edges. Here is Mute, Riven, Blessed from his book Grace Notes by Brian Doyle. I see them all the time. Naked white crosses on the shoulder of the road, on the other side of the ditch, at that bad curve on the highway. There's one on a high river bank where a kid drove off into the river and the car sank bubbling and they found him blue a day later. There's one near the beach where two lanes merge into one, but if you are drunk, you maybe miss the merge and you hit a fir tree bigger than a house and you turn into past tense. Cold meat, a story people remember. There's one on the most innocent farm road you ever saw, where nobody should ever have an accident, but a girl did one bright afternoon, and no one knows why. There are four of them, all together, like a silent, tiny white forest. Four kids roasted with their car flipped and rolled and burned. The grass was black there for the longest time. And I live in Oregon, where a spontaneous shrine grew and grew and grew by the school fence at Thurston High School in the old timber town of Springfield in 1998 after a 15-year-old kid named Kip Kinkle shot his mother to death and his father to death and then walked into school with two guns in the morning and opened fire and murdered two kids, Mikhail Nikolausen and Ben Walker, and wounded 25 other kids before a wrestler named Jake tackled him. In the days after, blood trickled along the white polished hallways of Thurston High School. Thousands of people walked to the chain-link fence outside the school and tied things to the fence. Photographs, flowers, balloons, quilts, a commencement gown and cap, notes, verses from the Bible, every conceivable form of prayer and mourning and memory. The shrine stayed there for weeks and weeks and weeks. No one had the heart to order it dismantled. People came all day and night to that hole in the world where prayers went up into the sky like a river of tears. The fence is still there, naked now, and a friend tells me people still stop at it day and night and pray. A chain-link chapel, open to the elements, soaked in rain and rue. I do not ask why we do this, why we erect little white crosses and signs and mounds of flowers and cairns of stones where people died. We know why we do this. We cannot not do this. We mark the spot where the soul left the body and returned to sender. These places are holy. They are holes wrenched open suddenly, often in flame, doors through which a soul has passed from this world. To me, they are holier than any church, in the same way a mother's belly is holier than any church, because those sweet bellies and those roasted holes in the grass are where souls entered and left this intricate realm. They are places of mercy and mystery. They are the portals from which the created emerges and through which the created departs. Hospital beds, ambulance gurneys, wet ditches in wars, seething smoking holes where gargantuan buildings were destroyed by murderers in airplanes, quiet bedrooms in quiet houses. icy mountain ledges, howling seas, serene back gardens while digging in the compost. We die everywhere, and everywhere that spot is henceforth holier than before. To us, anyway. We do not spend much time thinking about the deaths of the million infinitesimal creatures with which we share the land. But they die too, ebbing away in tiny tides, their unique and miraculous sparks drawn home into a coherent energy and love we only dimly sense, here and there. Such sensual experiences being sacraments, the moments when you feel divine breath in your ear and fingers on your face. We are alone, each and all of us, even as we swim in the ocean of love and grace that is our joyous work here. And we still die alone, each of us, leaving our bodies behind at some moment brooding in the future. And bed or beach, highway or hospice, those who love us will mark that spot, and then mark the spot where our bones are laid to rest or ashes swirled into the thirsty sea. As I mark the spots where girls and boys and infants and women and men have died along the roads here, the naked white crosses, the flowers and flags. Once, there, in those spots, something left the earth. The words we have are so thin. Life, soul, the miraculous energy that drives bone and meat toward love and light, the electric prayer of her, the hymn of him. Gone. But not gone. Is there a wilder, crazier, truer belief than that? And if life is a miraculous opening, why cannot death be a miraculous opening also? So those thin, naked white crosses in the rain, that dripping chain-link fence at Thurston High, maybe they are not exits after all. Maybe they are the holiest doors. Maybe they are not holes where something emptied out. Maybe they are holes through which something pours in. A love so far beyond our ken that we can only stand there, mute, riven, blessed.
Twister, thousand wrong dentalers, mama. Cancer mama, my vein braider, thousand year bone burner mama, my tongue twister, thousand wronged antlers mama, my tongue twister, thousand wronged antlers mama, my vein braider, thousand wronged antlers.
The song we just heard was Wild Eyes by Marie Sue. Thinking about mums, souls, and ofrendas can make a mind drift into thinking about how we would like to be remembered. What would be placed on our own altars if we had the chance? Me? Well, I'd nestle some camellias, pink carnations, and daffodils near those golden mums. Memories of buying a sweet-smelling lapel flower with a friend in San Francisco. Receiving a bouquet of some blush-hued blossoms in high school after my first lead acting performance, and enjoying picking a bundle of yellow-headed blooms growing fresh and air-scented in one of my favorite places on the planet. I'd fill a plate with Grandma Mamano's Sicilian lasagna, a few ripe wild strawberries, and perhaps a slab of my mother's coconut cream pie. And trinkets? There would be more than a few. But a thick chunk of poetry would need to be placed somewhere on there, perhaps even including this next one. In her poem, At the Tea Garden, Margaret Hasse thinks about being remembered in the bone china of a teacup. At the Tea Garden by Margaret Hasse. My friend and I mull over the teas displayed in square jars, with beveled glass labeled by type. Each name seems part of a haiku. After the snow sprouting, moon palace, mist over the gorges. I'm drawn to green teas with unoxidized leaves that don't wither, hold their grassy fragrance like willow under snow in winter. The proprietor offers real china for the Chinese tea. Animal bones, fine ground, give whiteness, translucency, and strength to the porcelain that appears delicate, resists chipping. The rim of the cup is warm and thin. My friend's lips are plush. Her lovely mouth opens to give advice I ask for. We talk about memory of threshold events, like a first kiss or a poem published. She can't remember. I tell her about my brother-in-law's chemotherapy, his third bout of cancer. He wants his family to put a pinch of his ashes in things he liked. His banjo, the top drawer of his desk, the garden. I wouldn't mind becoming part of a set of bone china that serves tea in a cozy tea house smelling of incense, cinnamon, musk, and carved teak. I'd like to be brought to a small table, sit between friends' quiet words, held in hands so close that breath on the surface of warm drink makes mist rise over their faces. That was At the Tea Garden by Margaret Hasse, from her book Earth's Appetite, and published by Noden Press in 2013 and read with permission. As we float through the subtle cracks and openings, the unseen thresholds, the thin places, let's keep our eyes open to the second sightings that may show up. Our final song by Jose Gonzalez ends with these words, "Idle as a wave moving out at sea, cruising without sound, molding what's to be, serene between the trails, serene with the time, and ink of a ghost." Invisible, subtle, profound, this life, possibly the next. I'm glad you could join me today. WIDBY Air is all volunteer and community generated and relies on listener support to maintain our public access studio and this worldwide stream. And look for my upcoming book, published by Skylight Paths Publishing, Camino Divina, The Way of the Divine, a book of moving meditations with likely and unlikely saints.
Idle as it seemed, trudging through the mist, following the creeks, erasing dim light. lines on the list. Eager to arrive, leaving footprints in the clay. Reading rocks and vines, telling indigo from gray. Telling indigo from gray. Scattered trace of light. Screens in the air. All berries in the tree earn a steady flare. Among the mirrors of the scene, some appear frail and incomplete. In a vast field of pains, runs from the deepest valley past the sun, opening up the vault to find spinning tops in play. Embedded nested yarn, diverting from the gates.
You've been listening to Ear Candy on Whidbey Air. Until next time, may the thin places lead you to hidden worlds and sweet remembrances, yet always bring you back.